Your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew, and the book of Matthew, the decisions that you make have an impact. A sermon entitled The Decisions You Make. You know, America or the world, not just America, the world says, I can make my own decisions because I'm grown. And can I tell you, you can. You can do whatever you want. You can make the Kool-Aid and drink it if you want it. It doesn't matter. You can have it. Doesn't matter the taste. You can do it. But can I tell you tonight, the decisions that you make are not only going to affect you, but they will affect the people that are close to you now and also the people that will come after you. So when you make a decision, it cannot just be where you say, I can do what I want. Because immediately after the word want is, I'm grown. Can I tell you, you are. But are you ready for the consequences of your decisions? See, many of times I hear many people, I wish that I could have done things differently because the things that I have done, they were not wise. I was young. You know, it's always blamed on when we're younger. But yet I thought you were grown. I was young, and because of that, I really didn't know what I was doing, but yet we're grown. Right now, I'm at the stage where I am a grandfather of six. And can I tell you, I cannot just do things. I cannot just say things. I cannot just act out in the way that I want because my kids, my kids' kids are now looking at grandpa. And if grandpa goes out and he acts out in himself, because listen, can I tell you? I might be changed by the glory of God, but inside of me, there's still a crazy. Amen. Inside of me, there is still the crazy guy. There is still that hateful man. There is still that person, that died, but every once in a while, that person tries to get up, and I have to say, get down. Because I cannot let that person rule this life once again. Let's go ahead and read, amen. We're going to start in verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Isn't it amazing? He's like, I've kept them all. Which one are you asking me to keep? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept for my youth. What do I still lack? In other words, I'm perfect. I've done everything. I've kept everything. Jesus, throw something that I don't know at me. Verse 22. Jesus said to him, how many know that If you ask Jesus to throw something at you, he's going to throw something at you that you are not going to like. Amen? If you want to be perfect, remember he said, what do I still lack? Jesus tells them, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come now and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We ask you to help us tonight. You be with us. God, let us look to you, for you are the author and you are the finisher, the perfecter. In you, all things are complete. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The decisions that you make, that you have made. See, there are many times you and I see somebody and we begin to think, I know that person. There's something familiar. Listen, it's not just because you are getting up in age, but we see different people come and we see them. And as we see them, we do not recognize or bring it to where we knew them, but we know that person that we are seeing because they are familiar. Right before the revival, as we were outreaching for the revival to come, we were on the way back from passing out some flyers, and a lady calls me, and she says, sir, I was like, I don't know you. Amen. I don't know you. Why are you calling me? There's dogs right there by you. I'm not getting close to you. But she says, sir, come here. I said, okay. I'm gonna keep that dog back. And she says, can you give me a flyer? And I looked at her and I said, I know you. Where do I know you from? And I said, oh, you came to the trunk or treat? She says, yes, I was there. See, it was a strange thing to me because normally we go out and we're trying to hand people flyers and people are like, this lady came and she called me and she said, I want one of your flyers. Here you go. She asked me, and I remember that I seen her. She had three little kids that were there, and they were trying to win the cakes and the cakes that we had. Amen. And I believe that one of the kids finally got one, and they were so excited. See, I'm not saying that I forget people the way they look, but I am up in age. And I have met, if not hundreds, but if not thousands, of people in my lifetime. I'm not going to be able to remember everything and everybody. Some of the memories that I have are vague. But a lot of those memories, they stay, in my mind from time to time. Those memories will come back into my mind. It might have been an event. It might have been something that was said. But can I tell you, regardless of what it was, something triggered that person's life back into my mind, and into your mind also. When we remember and we come, we begin to say things like, I wonder what happened to such and such and so. Where are they now living? How are they doing? See, here in our text, we see a story of a man's experience that only lasted but a short time. Minutes, we can probably say, at the least. We can say things like, this experience affected the decisions that he made, but the Bible records that this man, listen to me, this man had an encounter with Jesus. We don't know who this man is. It doesn't give us his name. It just gives us a subtitle of who this man was. See, as Jesus was headed towards Jerusalem, it was a few weeks from the experience on the cross. He was walking through Judea knowing what lies ahead of him. He was constantly confronted by the Pharisees. And as they left, now he is experiencing a short time of relief. And as he was there, he's ministering to some kids that are there. And then somebody else approaches him. See, this man comes and he brings a pressing question. See, the question, it must have been pressing heavily for a long time upon his mind. He's looking for an answer of something that he is totally unsure about. And as he sees Jesus, he finds hope that in what he questioned, he would finally find the answer that he was looking for. This man, he said, he ought to have the answer that I'm looking for. Can I tell you? We can find the answer that we're looking for always in Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus has the answer to anything that we have. As he approaches Jesus, he blurred out his question. Teacher, what good deed? See? It's what he had to do. What good deed do I have to do to inherit or have eternal life? See, this is something that was pressing upon his mind. He wanted to know, how can I be saved? Or in other words, how can I have eternal life? For his question, we can see what his thought process of eternal life is. See, he had an idea. Can I tell you, religious people, they have the idea. When you are in a sense religious, you know and you have the ideas of what you have to do. He had a sort of idea of what he and how to be saved. What he thinks of salvation is clear by the question or the way that he presented it. Teacher, what good deeds must I do to obtain what I'm looking for? See, his idea of being saved had to do with what he could do. He wants to know what he can do to be saved. What good deeds or what can I do? See, How can I secure my own salvation? What can I do to impress God enough to be able to save me? Give me a goal to be able to reach. Give me something to attain that I might be able to complete it. Let me know something of what I can do. Because this question is pressing in my heart and in my mind. Jesus goes along with this. Can I tell you? Jesus is funny. Because he plays along with this man. You know, we think, well, if you're going to be saved and all this, you have to always have that serious face. Right? Because if you are not serious, then there's something wrong with you. So Jesus plays along with this man's game. Jesus, amen, sees exactly what's going on in this young man's mind. See, Jesus says he thinks he has to do something to obtain his own salvation. Jesus responded, just keep the commandments. In today's young age, bruh, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. This man says, I've kept them all. Throw something else at me. Even though he thinks that he has been perfect, he knew that there was, can I tell you, listen to me. This man said, I have kept them all, but yet he still lacks something. He was still lacking, something in his life. There was things that were going on in his mind. Why do I feel or why do I think what I think? There must be something else. There must be something more. What is it, Lord? What is it, good teacher, that I lack? Jesus answers him. And he says, go. Sell everything you own, give it away, and follow me. Was Jesus telling him that if you go and sell everything, that you are going to be able to receive salvation? No. Because John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. So it's not by what we do or what we don't do. It's if we accept Jesus Christ into our lives. If we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. If we cry out, if we confess our sins for all who call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, Jesus was not telling him, if you go and sell all these things, then you will be saved. Through Jesus, that is the only way. It is by faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus was not giving this young man an alternative motive, an alternative way, and another way to be able to reach the Father. Jesus was not saying that. He was digging into his heart of what he thought and the way that he thought that the idea that he was perfect. See, to be honest, amen, that's not what this young man expected to hear. How many know that? See, in his mind, he thought, I have everything down packed. He's just going to come. He's going to bless me. He's going to put his hand over me, and everything will be perfect and everything will be good because I'm perfect. See, he thought everything was good. Jesus, begins to touch. See, Jesus touches areas of our lives that we think we are secured about. It's like that knife. As Jesus puts the knife, he goes like this, but it's right where you need it. He had a decision to make: money or eternal life, riches on earth or riches in heaven. Luke 19:22 records, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. See, this man made his decisions. He wanted his possessions more than he wanted eternal life. Money more than he wanted Jesus. See, this is where it makes me begin to wonder. This young man walked away. He did, what he experienced on that moment. But yet, he faded away. All Jesus became was a distant memory. Did he ever think about that again? Did that memory come back to him? Did he ever stop trusting on earthly possessions and now, seek heavenly treasures? Did he ever finally get saved? Can I tell you? The Bible does not allow you and I the answers. But because this man walked out sorrowfully, many commentators say he didn't. I wonder tonight what decisions you have made that will also make you walk sorrowful. That's too much for me to give. I can give up everything, God, but not that. Is that one thing worth you walking with now your shame, the guilt, and everything else of what could have been if I would have made the right choice? See, the Bible, gives us another story. Or other stories to think about, of people who made the wrong decisions. We can see, the life of Barabbas. This man was profoundly. People had a choice to make. Give me Jesus or give me Barabbas. The people chose Barabbas. Two people, that had an experience with Jesus. Two people, who can say that they walked away from Jesus. Who knows what happened to them after they walked away? Did they forget? Or did they finally trust? We don't know. But can I tell you something tonight, folks? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that person. See, I think the Bible lets you and I know that the decisions that we make, they have a lasting impact. They have a lasting impact. That's the unknown. And can I tell you something tonight? I don't want my eternal life to be set on an unknown. Do you? Do you want? See, we can make the decision on where we're going to live, what we're going to drive for the most part. But you can't, you cannot do that with eternal life. Because heaven is real. But hell beneath is excited and awaits your coming. Can I tell you? That's not going to be for this guy. And I don't want it to be for you. But this guy cannot make your decisions. You have to make those decisions for yourself. You have to be able to trust Jesus Christ for your own self. Just like my grandkids now, as my wife and I begin to tell them, amen, they're on the beginning stages where we now tell them of the stories of the Bible. And now my oldest granddaughter, who's 8, she comes and she's asking us questions. Papa, Grandma, what about this? What about that? I read this, I read that. And we are able to now guide them through. But can I tell you, beloved, when they get to the point of where, amen, they have to make the decision, they have to make it for themselves. They have to make that decision upon their own. So what is the question of the hour? I'm glad you asked me, Pastor. What decision will you make tonight? Or what decisions have you made? Will you walk away and forget what you've heard about Jesus? Or will you choose and make the decision, amen, rightly to now trust and believe and give Jesus? Can I tell you why a lot of people, just like this man that walked sorrowfully? Because he didn't want to surrender. Many of times it's only one thing. And ask yourself today. It's still daytime, so I can say today. What is that one thing that is keeping you to be away from Jesus tonight? Let me have every head bowed and eye closed. Amen. This man came and he said, what do I need to do? He asked Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do? Can I tell you, that's the question that many people come, and maybe that's you tonight. You are asking God. You are asking the Lord. Those questions have come up in your mind. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, he gives you the answer. And at that moment, you have to make the decision. Can I tell you, for many of people, our time is limited. The Bible says, for our life is but a vapor. See, in our minds, we think we have all the time in the world. But Jesus knows that our life is but a vapor. It is here today, and then tomorrow, you're gone. So many people that I've talked to, I'll come and I'll go home and I'll ask, where's so-and-so? He's no longer here. Where is so-and-so? You didn't hear about it. They passed away. But they were so young. See, that's, we don't know when that vapor of our lives is going to be lifted up. And you're here tonight. You want to accept Jesus Christ into your life. you want to accept Jesus. This man came and he said, good teacher, what must I do? Jesus tells him. Can I tell you, the Lord is telling you right now. And he's speaking to you. Will you accept him or will you walk away sorrowful? That's the decision that every single one of us will have to make in our lives. Now, I'm not speaking to a general body. I'm speaking to you directly. Have you accepted Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, we'd love to pray with you tonight. Would you lift up your hand? Lift it up. Lift it high. This man came. He wanted that answer. Jesus gave him what he needed, but it's not what he wanted to hear. This man said, I do all those things. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Can I tell you tonight, there's things that we lack in our lives that Jesus begins to poke and speak about. And Jesus tonight wants to touch that area of your life. Maybe you're backslidden in this place. At one point you accepted Christ. But the things and the pressures, whatever the situation was, you went away from the Lord. And now the decisions that you made, it doesn't matter how long ago, they are not the life that you are living today. You are away from God. My wife, for 12 years of her life, she made a decision at one point in her life. But for 12 years, the decision that she made, the life that she was now living, it was no more. It was but a distant memory. 12 years later, God begins to press upon her heart. God began to call her. God began to move upon her life. And she accepted Jesus Christ back into her life. She repented of her sins. She turned away. She came to a place like we have here, an altar. And she said, Lord, I made decisions in my life to draw myself away from you. Lord, I want to make a decision tonight, she said, to come back to you. Can that be you tonight? You want to come back to Jesus. You want to come back to the Lord. Would you simply do one thing? Just lift your hand. All I want to do is know who am I going to pray for. Anybody, left to right, front to back. Amen. Church, let me talk to you. The decisions that you make, they do have impacts. The things that you do, the things that you say, the actions that you act out at, they have consequences. Will you allow God to help you? See, we are not perfect, but how many know that that cannot be an excuse on why we do things and do the things that we do? We know that we're not perfect, but does that still give us a license to sin and sin freely? Well, God knows that I'm not perfect. Listen, God knows that. But it still doesn't give you and I tonight a license to act out in a way that we want. Do things however we want. Because we serve a perfect God. And we have to strive to be more and more like Jesus. God is telling you tonight, this is what you must do. Is there one thing or many of one things that you need to let be a distant memory of your life tonight. You can come to the altar. The altar is open, and you can allow God to help you. Come to the altar tonight. Amen. Let Jesus help you tonight. Oh, rolo shiara barando lo bando, Jesus. God, we thank you. God, we magnify you, Jesus. God, we thank you for what you're doing, Jesus, in our lives. Help us. Help us, God. God, as we need you in this place, oh God.